Trump and Fiora. Pissing off the shit libs all over the world. So I saw something on the Twitterverse the other day. I have no idea if this is true. That Donald Trump has unveiled the plans for the wall, and it's going to have solar panels, and he's going to sell the electricity in Mexico. I don't know if this is true, but if that's true, it's brilliant. Think about it. Build a wall, put solar panels on it, sell the electricity to Mexico. It's fucking brilliant. If that's not what Donald Trump thought of, that's what he should do. It's brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. Speaking of brilliant, there's me. That's the cruise missile, my intellect, being fired off. And it impacted with some fucking anti-faggot, fucking anti-fafa. We're anarcho-communist. We don't understand that anarchy and communism are exactly opposite of each other and can't exist together. We're anarcho-communist because we have liberal arts degrees and we can't get jobs. And we like wearing black. Because we're so fucking boring and stupid. So I like, we just wear black all the fucking time. And we think we're cool! Greetings! It's the great one himself. It is the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society. CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. We are here at the recording studio. Today is the 12th of June in the year of our Lord, the Trump and Fuhrer. Have not recorded in 10 days. Been working my ass off. I got stories. I'll tell stories in the future. I spent 5 days surrounded by little dancers, all the way from, I think the youngest ones were about 6, all the way up to 18. And it was good times. I always enjoy, this is a local dance company. I do stuff with them every now and then. They're really good. I enjoy doing work with them. They're very creative. Their dancing is very good. And they're a fun group of people to work with. So it was a great time. Lots of good stories, though, but I'll tell the stories in the future. In the control room, the lovely and adorable Randy, being seen and not heard the way women should be. You can send us email, God, dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com on the interwebs. And you can do stuff on the Twitterverse and the Facebook, but I'll probably ignore you. Just send the fucking fan mail. I'll talk about that later. I'm going to try to focus. I'm going to try to do two things today. I'm going to tell this one fucking thing. I'm going to talk about one fucking thing. How likely do you think this is going to work out? When have I ever stuck on a fucking thing? I'm going to talk about one thing, and then we're going to get back to the book, ADHD Nation. Then we're going to wrap this up, and then I'm going to go to... Can't talk. I was talking about something, and my brain was changing tracks while my mouth was moving. This is a problem I have, is when the brain works faster than the mouth. Then I'm going to go to the library, take back some shit that I need to take back, and then I'm going to do the important job of I did do vocal warm-ups. I really did. Apparently, you didn't do any fucking good today. And then I'm going to stop at the liquor store on the way back and pick up some more Boulevard Tank 7 Farmhouse Ale, which is delicious. All right. Now, no, I am not drinking today. All I have is water. I did, this morning, however, have my I cannot fucking talk. This morning, I had my Black Rifle Coffee Company coffee murdered out. Delicious. Go there. Buy shit. When you order, well, don't buy shit. Buy coffee. When you buy coffee And if you want coffee mugs and shit, they have all kinds of fucking merch as well. Buy the coffee. When you buy the coffee, remember, in the little special instructions thing, when you're checking out, you type in there, the great one, comma, himself. All four words are capitalized. Capital T, the, capital G, great, capital O, one, comma, capital H, himself. The great one himself from the Cynical Libertarian Society told me to come buy your coffee because it will make me into a man. Okay? Because I want them to know so they contact me, go, who the fuck are you? And why are you talking about us? And can we give you money for advertising? That's the plan. Okay, I want money. Let's talk about money. I woke up the other morning and I was thinking about this really cute redhead that I saw the other day, and I did not attempt to get her to go out with me, spread her legs, whatever we want to call it, and I kicked myself in the ass over that after it was all said and done. I was like, dude, the fuck were you doing, man? That was like one of the hottest chicks you've seen in months. No, redhead, good body, shaved armpits, shaved legs, no mustache, no visible tattoos, and she was wearing a pretty skimpy dress, and no weird piercings. I'm like, dude, you're not going to see another woman of that quality. It's going to be 6 months before I see another woman of that quality. So anyhow, I was real, after it was over with, and she had gone her way, and I was standing there with my thumb up my ass, and I thought, dude, that was the poorest fucking performance you've done in a while when it comes to trying to bang a chick. So anyhow, it was fucking weak. I was really upset with myself, and I'm not gonna lie, I still have a little residual anger with me for fucking that up. So I woke up the other morning, and the first thing I thought about was this hot redhead. And my dick got all hard, because that's what dicks do when you think about hot redheads. And then I thought about anarcho-capitalism, because those are primarily the two things I enjoy thinking about, hot redheads and anarcho-capitalism. And there's this notion among you statists that anarcho-capitalism, and don't ask me how I got here from hot redhead, all right? This is how my brain works. So I'm laying in bed, I'm thinking about hot redhead with sexy ass legs and nice little freckles and no mustache, and how much I just want to shove my face between her legs and fucking do the alphabet on her clitoris with my tongue until she squirts in my face. And somehow from there, I went to thinking about anarcho-capitalism and how you fucking statists whine and snivel and cry about the fucking roads and the corporations. Because here's what we know from listening to all of you statists out there. We know that without the government, nobody would build roads, and the corporations would run wild and oppress everybody. Unlike, you know, now, where the corporations are running wild and oppressing people, more or less. Unlike now, where you have to buy health insurance from the corporations, and unlike now, where your tax money bails the corporations out when they fuck up, and unlike now, where the government protects the corporations, and unlike now, where the corporations control the food supply, and all the fucking animals have all kinds of hormones injected into them and all this other shit, right? So it would be even worse if there were no government to bail out the corporations and protect them. But anyhow, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So let's go back to the redheads. No, actually, I think I'm done with the redhead. Unfortunately. God damn. Dude, I'm telling you, man. Dude, fuck. I just want to shoot myself in the face with a bazooka for fucking that up. All right. What was I talking? See, now I'm thinking about redheads. Now, fuck. Anarcho-capitalism. I got it. Redheads. All right, redheads. Ah. Deep breath. So So somehow or another, laying in bed with a heart on, I got from Redhead to Anarcho-Capitalism and How You Statists Think That the Corporations Are Going to Run Wild and Kill Everybody. So as I've said before, first of all, I'm going to tangent. I've been telling you guys, right, that there's this one strip of road, because without the government, nobody can build roads. There's a strip of road, right? It's like a mile and a half long, that it's all on the path to one of the places where I do work. And I've been telling you that there's, okay, I had not been to that place in like 2 weeks at least. I had to go back there yesterday. The road is still, not only is the road still under construction, the road looks exactly the same as the last time I saw it. They have been building this 1.5 mile stretch of road for 8 months now. And there was already a road there when they started. It's not like they're building a road from scratch. Meanwhile, right next to where they're building this road, they're also building a bunch of apartment complexes, student housing, because CSU is here, students, blah, blah, blah. Okay. In less time than they have built a fucking road. Okay? Remember, I know you statists out there think that it's so hard to build a road because a road is so complicated. Remember, a road is a place where the ground is flat. It's flat. There's ground. The ground was already there. Okay? The ground was there. You just make the ground flat, and then you put some asphalt on it. I could do that by myself in a couple of days. You make the ground flat and you put asphalt on it. They have been fucking with that for almost 8 fucking months. Meanwhile, right across the street, the motherfuckers building the apartment complex started with an empty field. They've already built like 5 giant 3-story apartment complexes, which are completely on the exterior, already complete. And these other morons are still fucking around trying to make a flat place on the ground. Oh, without the government, couldn't build any roads. Can you imagine how terrible this would be if there were no government to build that road? Holy shit. So the first reason, so I'm thinking about all this, and I'm thinking about the corporations and this weird obsession you people have. You know, I masturbate to Redheads, you masturbate to the government building roads and protecting people from the corporations. Because you think, oh, the government is protecting me from the corporations. Because if the federal government collapses, well, the corporations are going to run down the streets raping and killing everybody. But of course, there won't be any streets, because without government, there are no roads. On a more serious note, however, something occurred to me as I was laying there in the aftermath of thinking about a hot redhead and having a hard-on. And here's the thing about why, when the federal government collapses, the corporations are not going to run wild and rape and kill everybody on the planet Earth. Okay, let's start here. You guys may have heard at some point in your life about the American Civil War. Now, the American Civil War is a masturbatory fantasy because there's never been a civil war in the history of the United States. There was a war between the United States of America and the Confederate States of America, which were a separate country. That is not a civil war, right? When America and Japan fought each other in World War II, that was not a civil war. That was a war. So this thing you call the Civil War was not a civil war, but I know you're not very smart. It was a war between two different countries. During that war, the government of the Confederate States of America, which was fucked up like other governments are, printed money. Confederate script. Confederacy had money. I know you think that all down from the South, we're all just racist and we all have sex with our sisters and we ain't got no running water and we don't know what money is, but no, not all of us in the South are like that. That's just Arkansas. Arkansas, yeah, Arkansas is like that. The rest of us are normal. We understand like indoor plumbing, flush toilets, electricity, you know, not having sex with your sister unless she's really, really, really hot. Then we can maybe make an exception. If you're and money. We understand the concept of money. And yes, of course, we're all racist because you can't generalize about people, but everybody from the South is racist, right? I wonder how long I can stretch this out. This is like actually 45 seconds worth of material. So far, I've made it last 16 minutes. The Confederacy printed money. They had money. Confederate dollars. Okay. The Confederacy lost the war. The government of the Confederate States ceased to exist. When that government ceased to exist, the Confederate script, the Confederate money, no longer had any value. Because the government that had issued it no longer existed. Now you say, but great one, what does this have to do with in Ancapodice the corporations are going to run wild and rape and kill everybody? Okay. How is it that the corporations are able to do all the things they're able to do? Now part of it, of course, is that the government protects them, right? When the government fucks up, not the government, the corporations. When the corporations fuck up, the government protects the corporations. Just like the government protects rapists. It's like the government protects murderers, right? Right now, Jerry Sandusky, he fucked a bunch of 8-year-old boys in the ass. The government has him in a nice, safe jail cell, with food and water and clothing and air conditioning and medical care, and they're protecting Jerry from being killed by one of the fathers of one of the little boys that he raped. Right? That's what the government does. The government protects the bad people because the government needs the bad people to create victims who therefore need the government. Because remember, if you don't need the government doesn't need you. The government requires, depends upon, especially in a democracy, you have to have people who cannot survive on their own without the government providing for them. Because if everybody could provide for themselves and survive without the government to provide for them, well, no one would need the government. Okay. So one reason the corporations run wild is because the government protects them. But when the federal government collapses, not if, but when, the government, the federal government, will not be there to protect the corporations anymore. Nor will the government be there to impose all these regulations to stop people from competing with the corporations. The other reason that the corporations are able to run wild and do whatever they want to do is, of course, because they are rich. They have a shit ton of money. And a lot of their money is in the bank. Now, when the federal government collapses, first of all, what will be one of the first corporate, types of corporations that will collapse? One of them will be the military-industrial complex, because, like I've said before, nobody but the federal government, with the money it steals from the taxpayers and the money that it prints, can afford an aircraft carrier or a B-2 bomber. Or an F-15, or an M1 Abrams tank. So the military-industrial complex collapses almost immediately, because those are a bunch of corporations that are making something nobody wants and nobody can afford other than the government. Now, maybe foreign governments, that is a possibility. the banks, with their FDIC and their bailouts and everything else, with all of that gone, the banks are going to collapse pretty fucking quick. Partially because the government will not be there to bail them out, protect them, give them this insurance, right? When the government collapses and suddenly the small percentage, it's only going to take a small percentage, of people in the United States look at this and they realize, wait a minute, if the federal government is collapsing and my money in the bank is insured by the federal government, but the federal government is collapsing, my money is not going to be insured anymore. Maybe I should get my money out of the bank. And there's going to be a run. And what small amount of actual cash the bank has is going to be sucked out. And the banks are going to collapse. But now let us bring this to the ultimate conclusion. What happened to Confederate script when the Confederate government ceased to exist? It became worthless other than for historical purposes. When the federal government collapses, the dollar will no longer have value. So you have this corporation, and the corporation has $100 billion. Wonderful. You have $100 billion worth of worthless paper. You have 100 billion little pieces of paper. They're not even good for toilet paper because they're too rough for wiping your ass. When the federal government collapses, the corporations are not going to run wild because the corporations will immediately have no wealth. Now, they'll have material goods. In some cases, that might be useful. I'll talk about that in a second. But in a lot of cases, so what? And even though they have the material goods, well, what are they going to do with it? Until something arrives to replace the dollar, how are you going to sell the material goods you have? More importantly, once again, the stupid people look at corporations as these evil entities that do things, right? As we said, British Petroleum spilled oil in the ocean. Well, no, British Petroleum did not spill any oil. British Petroleum is some little squiggles on a piece of paper. Squiggles on a piece of paper cannot spill oil. Okay, people spilled oil in the ocean. I know this is complicated. I'll try to talk slowly for those of you in the cheap seats. When the federal government collapses, in order for the corporations to run wild down the streets and rape and kill people, right? In order for the corporations to take advantage of the poor, as if the poor have anything that anybody wants to take advantage of. In order for the evil corporations, let's come up with a sort of concrete example. In order for the evil corporation to go into Yellowstone Park and cut down all the trees and drill for oil, what does the corporation have to have in order to do that? The corporation has to have employees. Because you see, let's say Exxon. So the federal government has collapsed. Exxon is going to go into Yellowstone, cut down the trees, and drill for oil. Okay, Exxon is little ink squiggles on a piece of paper. Little ink squiggles on a piece of paper cannot cut down a tree. The CEO of Exxon has to tell other people to do this. Say, you 20 people, go to Yellowstone Park, which isn't Yellowstone Park anymore because the federal government collapsed. You go there and you cut down trees. If they don't cut down the trees, it doesn't happen. So the 20 guys will look at the CEO and go, why the fuck should we do that? And the CEO will say, well, because I'm going to pay you. And then they will say, well, you're going to pay us with what? And he will say, well, I'm going to pay you with dollars. And they're going to look at him and say, no, the dollar isn't worth anything. When the federal government collapses, the corporations will have no money. When the corporations have no money, why will people keep working for them? I know this is really hard. It's like, well, I've worked here, I'll just keep volunteering. Right? When the federal government collapses, people will be worried about things like, where am I going to get my next meal from? And how will I protect my family from all these evil warlords who are out trying to rape and kill everyone? Because remember, when the government collapses, in addition to the corporations raping and killing everybody, the evil warlords are going to be running around killing and raping, you know, like they do in Mad Max and all the other apocalypse movies. So who exactly is going to go to work? The corporations will cease to exist in less than 24 hours after the federal government collapses. Now, there's a few possible exceptions to this. Military-industrial complex. China might be willing to give them Chinese currency, or I don't know, whatever currency, because when the dollar collapses, the dollar is no longer the world reserve currency, whatever takes its place. China might be willing to pay the military-industrial, I'm just using China, this isn't picking on China, it could be anybody. China might be willing to pay Grumman. Anyway, might be willing to pay someone to build an aircraft carrier. Okay, so it gives them some money. So then maybe the corporation can use that money to pay its employees, but is that money going to be taken locally? Or maybe the corporation can use that money to purchase food and other goods like from another country and import that and then say to the employees, okay, we will pay you in food. And then people might keep working there and building an aircraft carrier. Another possibility is your agricultural, well, but even then, see, the agricultural corporations, to a great extent, though, they just control the food supply. They don't actually do the work. I mean, when the federal government collapses, some of the most powerful people in the United States will become the farmers because they're the ones who are growing the food. And they're the ones who will have what everybody wants. And the farmers will need people to hang out with rifles and shoot the people who try to steal their food. The farmers will become rich, but not in dollars, in barter. But maybe you're like something like Monfort, where you raise cows, and I use the term cows loosely because of all the hormones they inject in them and all this other shit. But okay, so maybe you can get people to stay on and help you inject hormones into your cows and slaughter them and, you know, send that meat out to people that people would barter for it, whatever, you know, and then the Monfort would pay those employees with food. So there are some corporations that might have the, because the only resource the corporations have left, like if I think I said this already, is their materials, right? Their money is gone. Their money is worthless. The money is poof, it's gone. An electric company would still have the equipment to generate electricity. But for the employees to keep coming to the electric company and keep the electricity running, the electric company would have to somehow compensate them with something that makes it worth their while. And it will not be the dollar, because the dollar will have no value. And there are some of you out there going, well, see, that's what I mean. It's going to be complete chaos. Yeah, it is. And it's going to be beautiful because the inferior people are going to die. And there's going to be a lot of death and blood and whining and suffering. And within 6 months, everything will stabilize and normalize. People will figure it out. Somebody will come up with a new currency. People will barter, whatever the fuck it takes. And in that six-month period, the inferior people will die off. The corporations will cease to exist. And everything will fucking shake out. But here's what will not happen. What will not happen is the roads will not mysteriously vanish because the government is gone. And the corporations will not fucking run wild. Nor will there be any warlords. There will be some young dumb punks running around acting like idiots. And they will very quickly get shot. There will be no warlords and no rabid corporations. There will, however, be cute redheads. There will also not be any more ADHD medication because people will have bigger problems than doping their children. All right, ADHD Nation. Oh, we didn't set up to play the Compliacin commercial. Fuck, I forgot all about that. Is that computer that's not even fired up, is it? That explains also why that... Anyway. No, we'll get over it. Life goes on. ADHD Nation. Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic. By Alan Schwartz. We're on page 164. Many doctors are absurdly trusting when diagnosing college students, who, just as smoothly as Jameson Monroe, can feign ADHD symptoms to get a stimulant prescription with remarkable ease. A 2004 study found that most of the students were able to fake their way into a diagnosis-worthy score on various symptom tests, including 90% who fooled the Connors scale. One experiment looked at two groups of about 70 students, kids with true ADHD, and others who, given only 5 minutes to research the disorder on the internet, were promised $45 if they could get themselves diagnosed by a professional clinician. Both groups were run through the proper structured interviews, questionnaires, and computer-based test of attention and reaction time. In the end, the clinicians couldn't tell the groups apart. Students wound up getting diagnosed at the same rate. In 2013, a young and even younger looking French... In 2013, reading comprehension skills, goddammit. Stop thinking about redheads. In 2013, a young and even younger looking French newswoman in a television series on American college campuses went undercover to see how easy getting ADHD pills truly was. She learned of a Manhattan psychiatrist popular among local students, went to his office wearing a hidden camera and microphone, answered a few questions, and walked out 10 minutes later with a prescription. Page 169. In August 2009, this is why I don't do audiobooks. Whew. Like read audiobooks, that is. In August 2009, Richard Fee walked into the office of Triad Psychiatric and Counseling Center in Greensboro, North Carolina, the just-down-the-street clinic for students at the Greensboro College who wanted prescriptions for Adderall. At the time, Richard had everything going for him: academic scholarship, first baseman on the college baseball team, handsome and charismatic enough to have been elected president of the sophomore class. He wanted to go to medical school. Having bummed Adderall pills off friends for a while, he decided to get his own supply by faking ADHD to a gullible triad nurse, as if there's any other kind of nurse. She wrote down his complaints, quote, poor organization, memory, attention to detail, unquote. She gave him an airy 18-question survey, not the official Connor scale, but a descendant of it, and totaled up the 0 to 3 scores. 29? Yep, ADHD. She arranged for a prescription. The drug worked so well, a few weeks later, Richard returned to ask that the dose be increased to 50 milligrams. She complied. He soon asked for 60 milligrams. She green-lighted 3 months' worth of medication in 43 days. When Richard graduated and moved back to Virginia Beach, Virginia to study for medical school entrance exams, he visited a local psychiatrist to get his Adderall prescriptions refilled. Dr. Waldo Ellison listened to the young man's complaints, assumed that his original ADHD diagnosis back in Greensboro had been correct, and began writing Richard regular scripts. Because they met for only 5 minutes. Because they met only for 5 minute med checks once a month, the doctor did not notice that Richard was abusing the pills from the start. He would blow through his monthly supply in a few weeks, staying up all night, reading and scribbling in notebooks. As amphetamine psychosis took hold, he would climb out his bedroom window onto the roof to talk with the moon and the stars. Well, that's just a benefit of AD. I mean, you know, normal kids would do that if they didn't have it. That's what normal kids do when you give them. That's the medication's working. See? It's making these kids normal. Another side effect of amphetamine abuse is elevated body temperature. Richard would get so overheated that he walked around the house with ice packs around his neck, and in frigid weather cooled off by jumping into his parents' 52-degree backyard pool. Now, this is while he's living at home. Once again, let's ask the question, where are the parents? Oh, that's right, the parents aren't doing any parenting, because parenting would involve work. Noticing your child is doped up on amphetamines all the fucking time? Well, that would involve you to spend a little less time looking at Instagram. We can't have that now, can we? That would involve parenting. And we care about the children's. We just don't have time to care about our children's. Now, I'm sure that these parents, I bet they voted for every fucking tax increase for the school district, and I bet they care about the starving children's in Africa, and I bet they think rich people should pay more taxes for the children's. But their own kid, right there in their home, overdosing on amphetamines. And I'm not going to tell you a motherfucker should never take an amphetamine ever in their life. Okay? There might, and I'm not talking about ADHD. I'm talking about normal people who don't have ADHD. There's times I wish I had some amphetamine so I could get through a fucking project. I'm not saying you should never take an amphetamine. It's like booze, all right? I'm not saying you never drink a beer, but you don't drink a fucking 12 pack every day. And how can the fucking parents, and using the term parent very loosely, not notice what's going on with their kid who's fucking living with them? Richard's father, Rick, confronted him about his bizarre behavior and whether it had anything to do with Adderall. His son replied, quote, "The doctor wouldn't give me anything that's bad for me, Dad. I'm not buying it on the street corner," unquote. When Rick watched Richard grow increasingly violent and heard him complain that his computer camera was spying on him, well, that's actually a real thing. Your computer webcam does spy on you. We've talked about that before in the past. You can Google it and find plenty of examples of that happening. Rick went to Dr. Ellison's office to discuss the prescriptions. The doctor refused to talk about Richard, citing patient privacy laws. Rick got so frustrated that he yelled at Dr. Ellison, quote, "You keep giving Adderall to my son, you're going to kill him," unquote. Dr. Ellison did leave Mr. Fee with some reassurance, though. This doctor had tremendous experience in this area, he explained, because, quote, "I prescribe more Adderall than anyone in the state," unquote. See, that makes you an expert on ADHD if you prescribe more medication for ADHD, then obviously you're an expert on ADHD. It couldn't be because you're not very smart and you're easily fooled, and all the people who don't have ADHD but still want Adderall have told each other that you're the doctor to go to because you're not very intelligent and it's easy to fake ADHD and get prescriptions from you. That couldn't possibly be what's happening. When Richard's parents convinced him to see a different psychiatrist, Dr. Charles Parker, they specifically instructed the new doctor not to prescribe Adderall. The doctor understood this so well that he wrote in his chart, quote, "no meds," unquote, with a box around it, as well as noting Richard's anxiety and suicidal thoughts. And yet, not long afterwards, Dr. Parker gave Richard a prescription for Adderall, and eventually a huge dose of 80 milligrams a day. The doctor later recalled that Richard had seemed so sincere about his needing the drug for ADHD. "Oh, I wonder if I just seemed really sincere about needing to rape women. I wonder if it would be okay." "Your Honor, we find the defendant not guilty of rape. He was really sincere." "Oh, he seemed really sincere about needing the drug. Oh. Are you sure? Are you doctors? Are you sure you're really as smart as you think you are?" "He seemed real." And of course, and again, all of this goes back to the fact that this is not a fucking real disease. Okay, a real disease has symptoms. Let's say I go to a doctor and I say, and I'm really sincere about having a broken arm. So they put my arm in the x-ray and it's like, "Well, no, there's nothing, but I'm really sincere." Right, "Well, fuck, we don't see any evidence of," right? No, you can't fake having a broken arm no matter how sincere you are. The fact that you can fool a doctor who is supposed to be educated and intelligent into believing you have a disease by being really sincere tells us that ADHD is not a real fucking disease. You cannot fake a disease by, "Doctor, I have cancer." "Well, we can't find any cancer, but he sure is sincere about having cancer. Let's go ahead and put him on chemotherapy." "Doctor, I would like a vasectomy." "Well, you're a woman and you don't have testicles or a penis, but God, you know, she's really sincere about wanting that vasectomy. Let's go ahead and give her a fucking vasectomy. She's really sincere." Once again, see, when the federal government collapses and the dollar isn't worth anything and people are dying of starvation, these are the kind of people that we're going to get out of the gene pool. And those of you, oh my God, we can't have Ancapadice, we can't have anybody die. You're protecting these idiots. This is why you're my enemy. This is why I don't like you. This is why you're a moron. You are keeping the parasites alive so they can keep sucking my fucking blood because of your feelings. Oh, that you would feel bad if the parasites died. Oh, wooby wooby boo boo. The doctor later recalled that Richard had seemed so sincere about his needing the drug for ADHD, an aspiring medical school student wouldn't lie about something like this, would he? And he didn't exhibit any outward signs of abuse during their occasional appointments. Richard's delusions returned so severely that he spent a week in a psychiatric hospital. When he got out and needing his amphetamine fix, Richard returned to Dr. Ellison. After only 6 minutes in the office, Richard left with not one, but three 30-day prescriptions of Adderall, one for that day and one for each of the next 2 months, so that he didn't have to schlep to the office for more. I thought I was the only person who uses the word schlep. I'm serious, as Alan Schwartz, I really like his writing style. This is a very readable book. I've said that before, but it's a very readable book. You will enjoy it. When Richard's father returned to Dr. Ellison to ask what in God's name he was thinking, it was too late. Richard had his 3 months' supply. By the time those pills ran out, Richard became so violent that his rages forced calls to the police. He moved into his own apartment, it's about fucking time, and became... What did he pay for it with? I mean, can you keep a job when you're this fucked up? And became despondent, withdrawn, and suicidal anew. He didn't recover. His life and psyche in tatters. He hanged himself in a closet. The Fees held a gathering in Richard's memory afterwards. His old college friends recalled how they too had used Adderall in college to cram, just like Richard did, and realized Richard's fate could have easily been theirs. A baseball teammate later recalled, quote, "It's so prevalent and widely used, people had no idea it could be abused to the point of no return," unquote. Still grieving as the anniversary of Richard's death approached, fuck, reading skills, going to shit. Still grieving as the anniversary of Richard's death approached, Mr. and Mrs. Fee noticed in the local paper that a new documentary called ADD and Loving It was being Okay, once again, ADHD is a disease. How about this? Cancer and loving it. Tuberculosis and loving it. Syphilis and loving it. Nazi concentration camp and loving it. Murdered by a missile launched from a flying robot under the orders of the first half-breed president of the United States, and loving it. ADHD and loving it was being screened at a nearby auditorium, followed by a panel discussion among experts. Alcoholic and loving it. Being cheated on by my girlfriend and loving it. ADHD is a disease. Oh. they decided to go. It was hosted by Chad, whose MC opened by thanking their sponsor for the event, Shire Pharmaceuticals. Oh wait, a pharmaceutical company is sponsoring a movie about how having ADHD is wonderful. And if you just get some meds, it's just wonderful. ADHD is a disease. The hour-long movie was of the Ned Harwell genre, casting ADHD as a humorous and often positive condition. Afflicted spouses giggled about misplacing keys and forgotten appointments, while doctors recalled the, quote, enthusiasm and excitement their patients had felt upon the diagnosis. It closed by examining several myths about stimulant medications, with doctors praising their efficiency and safety, mentioning no risk. Hallowell himself said the pills were, quote, safer than aspirin, unquote, while another clinician was even more reassuring, quote, it's okay, there's nothing that's going to happen, unquote. Rick Fee seethed silently after the movie ended. And remember, the same people who are in favor, these are the same people who make these movies like the one I mentioned that I watched just lately called Food Inc., right? Which is about how all the food is poisonous and we're all going to die because we're eating the food with the hormones in it, which I don't necessarily disagree with. I don't want to go down the tangent. I'm all for eating cows that don't have fucking shit pumped into their body, okay? I think factory farming is fucking disgusting. It's evil and it's unhealthy. I completely agree. Okay, but these are the same people. Oh my God, we're gonna die from global warming, right? But then these, oh yeah, put your kids on all these fucking drugs that have never been tested. It'll be fine. Now, what could happen? Nothing could go wrong. No, it's totally okay. Dope your kids up on amphetamines. It's not gonna hurt anything. Now, if you eat that beef and it's got hormones, you're going to fucking die. And if you drive your car, global warming is going to kill all the people on the planet Earth. But doping your children with amphetamine, no possible bad thing could happen from that. None. Rick Fee seethed silently after the movie ended. During the expert panel Q&A, he rose from his fourth row seat to ask a question. The panel was moderated by a local psychologist named Jeffrey Kantz, who also happens to be chairman of Chad's public policy committee. Oh, isn't that great? The guy who gives out Adderall is also the chairman of a publicity committee for a fucking group of people that advocate giving out Adderall. Well, that is fucking convenient. Once again, so remind me again, you fucking statist faggots. When is the government going to protect us from the corporations? When is the government going to prevent the corporation from funding this organization that's trying to convince people that having ADHD and getting on medication is a good thing, and that the medication is purchased from the corporation that funded it by the guy who gets a cut of the sales because he prescribes it, who is on the publicity campaign for the organization that's convincing you to put your kid on ADHD medication? Will you fucking statist faggots? Will you fucking remind me of when is this fucking government that you worship so goddamn much, when is your fucking government exactly going to start protecting people from being ass-raped by corporations? Fill me in on this. When is this going to happen? You are so fucking stupid. Once again, when Ancapanice comes and you are dying of starvation, I am going to walk past, I'm going to look down and you're in the gutter. The gutter will still be there. The roads will be gone because there won't be a government, but the gutter will still be there. As you're laying in the gutter, starving to death and dying, I'm going to pull out my dick and I'm going to piss right in your face. Rick Fee asked this question. Quote, oh, well, all right, anyway. Quote, what are some of the drawbacks or some of the dangers of a misdiagnosis in somebody and then the subsequent medication that goes along with that? Unquote, Rick Fee asked. Dr. Kantz took the question. Quote, not much. The medication itself is pretty innocuous, he replied. He explained that people without ADHD would see no benefit from Adderall and stop on their own. Now, Dr. Connors, I didn't read this part. Dr. Connors, this is, if you've just jumped in the middle, haven't listened to the previous episode, Dr. Connors is the person who essentially discovered ADHD, right? And he said that, he's the one who said, you know, there's a small percentage of people who have it, yada, yada, yada. And as you read the book, you discover about how horrified he was when, because he was sort of ensconced in his little research world and not really paying attention to what was happening in the world. And, you know, he talks about how when he became aware of how many people were getting diagnosed with ADHD and getting the medication, he was like stunned. He's like, no, there's no way in hell that this many people have ADHD. And so he went on something of a crusade himself. Well, not something. He went out into the fucking, amongst the other doctors and dipshits who are fucking over-prescribing Adderall and diagnosing people with ADHD who don't have it. He went out among them to try to explain to them that they're nuts. They're seeing shit that isn't there. They're over-diagnosing. They're over-medicating. They're prescribing when they shouldn't. You know, and he is trying to, he essentially says, look, I unleashed this monster on the world. And I didn't realize what was happening until years down the road, and now I'm trying to fucking fix it. You know, he's trying to do something. And Dr. Connors, he said himself that once he was working on this paper or something, and he had to get it done, and he took a fucking, I think it was a Ritalin that he took. He took a Ritalin, and he talked about how he worked all night, it was great, and yada yada. And he says, God, after that, I would never take another one, because the pill made me feel so fucking good, and I got so much done, and it was, you know, it was like, holy shit, he recognized the addictive power of this, and he vowed he would never take another fucking Ritalin, because he recognized it. And so for this fucking moron to sit here and again, I have no experience. I've never taken an Adderall. I've never taken Ritalin. I've never taken one of these. I will tell you this, I would if I, and I'm in a college town, it can't be that hard to get one. I would take one to find out. Who knows, maybe I'd become addicted and fucking hang myself in the closet. I don't know, not saying I wouldn't. But the guy who fucking diagnosed this shit took one fucking pill and said, holy fuck, this is dangerous. And for this fucking moron to stand here and say that people without ADHD would see no benefit to the Adderall. Well, not buying it, man, because there's a bunch of people faking ADHD to get the fucking Adderall. They're finding some kind of goddamn benefit. You don't see people faking cancer so they can get chemotherapy. Dr. Kantz concluded, as if puzzled by the question, quote, If you misdiagnose it and you give somebody medication, it's not going to do anything for them. Why would they continue to take it? Unquote. The stupidity. The massive, unlimited stupidity of the human species. It's just a